All right, let me jump on into my Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that Stan McDonald, 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. Stan McDonald is your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. Okay, so let me just say, as I kick off that, and I mean this when I say it, this past week was one of the worst displays of lawlessness, of self-righteousness, of the abuse of position. It was galling, it was maddening, it was sickening. Have I got your attention? It was three Democrats, members of Congress, and one Democrat mayor attempting to force their way into an ICE detention facility in Newark, New Jersey. I mean, they were leading a group of rabble-rousing leftist protesters. Afraid, I guess, that the MS-13 and Tren de Aragua gangbangers being held in the facility might are being strung up by their toenails, they had to go check it out. Maybe they're in there being waterboarded, or I don't know, just not being given their rightful conjugal visits or something. It was gross. Body cam footage from law enforcement on the scene clearly shows these vaunted and specially titled members of the U.S. House pushing and shoving and cursing and defying law enforcement who were just trying to do their jobs. And when I say pushing and shoving and cursing, well, picture the worst fight you've seen at Walmart Black Friday sales, and there you go. If those had been Republicans or people wearing MAGA hats, well, the left would be calling for blood. Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney would be flown in to get the old Jan 6 band back together. You can't interrupt a government proceeding, they said. Everyone knows that, right? But oh boy, they did. So let's name names, shall we? Representatives Bonnie Watson-Coleman, LaMonica McIver, and Rob Menendez, along with Newark Mayor Raz Baraka. So McIver, member of Congress, was especially contemptuous. You'll see her in a video here in a few minutes, using language that would make a drill sergeant blush. Watson-Coleman, well, she happens to be an 80-year-old. 80 years old, and she's in the middle of this protest group. By the way, she's got two sons who served time for armed robbery. Menendez? Well, Menendez is the son of the recently convicted Senator Gold Bars in My Closet Menendez. You can't make this stuff up. What a rogues gallery. And yet, there they are. Watson-Coleman swears that there's going to be false AI-generated films about her actions because she's innocent, you see. She meant nothing by this. McIver? Well, she swears she was pushed by law enforcement first. Okay, sure. But we've got the receipts, you see. And DHS is saying that arrests may well be coming. Saying specifically, by the way, DHS did, that arrests of those three lawless members of Congress is on the table. And it should be. But let's be honest. That's just one example of the fact that Democrats are in complete disarray on an epic scale right now. I mean, gone are the halcyon days of hope and change. There's no grand figure around which the Democrats can rally their base. They have no galvanizing message, no political rhythm, no mandate, all of which, by the way, is self-imposed. But here's where I shift gears. Because having said all that, and having talked about the ignominy of what the Democrats are constantly up to, about the way they are constantly blustering and bloviating and making absolute mayhem out of the halls of Congress, it ought to serve as a warning to Republicans. You heard me. That's right. I'm flipping the script. Democrats are imploding on an epic scale, but Republicans cannot take that as some kind of good news. We cannot allow ourselves to get just lazy because they're crazy. There's a quote from Greek philosopher Aristoteles. He says, "We don't rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training." Meaning that those who fail to prepare in the offseason fail to perform in the big game. Republicans would do well to remember that. So there's a great political competition for the right side of the aisle right now. There's certainly, you know, bluster and obstruction and filibuster and mayhem, but rhetoric does not connote responsibility, and obstruction does not equate to brinksmanship. The danger here is that the Democrats have got nothing going on well, but Republicans cannot allow laziness to creep in due to a lack of competition. So in the absence of true political opposition, Republicans, they can easily slip off into their echo chambers and just applaud themselves for their own mediocrity. There was no fight, yet they claim a victory. Year after year, session after session, speech after speech, without breaking a political sweat, they can just do enough to get by, write a congratulatory op-ed about themselves, slip off into that decaying place of tepid insolence where political muscles atrophy and political will becomes flaccid. All because they have no real competition. No reason to be what Republicans claim to be in all their campaign commercials. I think the Alabama Democratic Party was the canary in the coal mine for the National Democrat that we're watching just fall apart. Since losing ground in the 2010 wave election, Alabama Democrats have only had one statewide office holder, and that was one-term U.S. Senator Doug Jones. An election, by the way, that in my opinion was marked with an asterisk. Jones himself recently said in an interview that the Alabama Democratic Party is a complete disaster. Here's his full quote. He said, quote, "It's just an unmitigated disaster that has nowhere to go. They can't even get a quorum to hold a meeting. And the reason they can't get a quorum to hold a meeting is because the leadership of the party wants to kind of do all these weird shenanigans." Well, he nailed it. And yeah, there's no real competition there for Alabama Republicans. On the national level, Democrats have cascaded now into this self-imposed chaos. I mean, you've got long-term strategist James Carville and newcomer activist-turned-party leader David Hogg recently clashing over direction, trading insults and ideas. The two de facto leaders of the left opined conversely that Democrats ought to be replaced or just march on in current fashion. Meanwhile, Senator John Fetterman, who's a Democrat from Pennsylvania, is facing attacks from the left for daring to moderate his positions. And Democrat members of Congress are just bum-rushing the gates of ICE detention facilities. Jasmine Crockett, her verbal inanities embarrass her colleagues on a regular basis. Her latest comments, by the way, are that the Dems are probably going to have to run the safest white boy they can find. Member of Congress. Oh yeah, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the former barista, is now being touted as a viable candidate for the presidency in 2028. But watching the Democrats shoot themselves in the proverbial foot on a near daily basis is like the political version of the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. It's hyperactivity, it's riddles with no answer, it's poise without purpose. And if Republicans squander this moment in time, it will not be because the Democrats had their act together and put up the better fight. It's going to be a loss that is solely borne by the team that had everything to lose. Donald Trump said in a recent interview with NBC News' Meet the Press, he said, and this is his quote, he said, "Being challenged is okay. It keeps you sharp." But the danger here for Republicans is the lack of challenge. The complacency that comes from controlling their own destiny. The absence of challenge, Republicans have two choices then. Get busy winning or just get busy slipping off into mediocrity. There's a book that I love. I've quoted it many times on the show. Author J. Oswald Sanders, he wrote a seminal classic called Spiritual Leadership. It's a book that I've dog-eared, underlined, and reread more than any other next to the Bible. In the 15th chapter of the book Spiritual Leadership, while talking about the fact that leadership can mean great exertion and long hours, Sanders said something that ought to be printed on bumper stickers, t-shirts, and inspirational posters everywhere. He said that if a person is, quote, "not willing to rise early and work late, to expend greater effort in diligent study and faithful work, that person will not change a generation. Fatigue is the price of leadership," he said. "Mediocrity is the result of never getting tired." And that, my friends, is not a mantra for what to do only when your competition is at its strongest. That's a formula for success that is driven by your sense of mission, by your time and place of calling, by a moment when it is yours to do. Republicans have to move forward on the field of political battle, whether the opposition is fighting hard or not. Eric Cantona, he was a famed forward for Manchester United Football Club, one of the greatest players to ever take the pitch. His philosophy was the same. He said one time, he said, quote, "I don't play against a particular team. I play against the idea of losing." There's a difference. You see, if you play down to the team on the other side, well, then you play less of the quality you're capable of playing. Republicans must play to win, even while Democrats are crazy. Republicans cannot become lazy. They must seize the moment. They must play to the idea of victory with an actual game plan. And yeah, Dems might be crazy, but we can't be lazy. We must seize the moment, secure the victory. Anything less is mediocrity. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.